He deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. If you ain't never had God come in when nobody else could come in, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if God has ever placed you someplace where nobody else could reach you, then you will know who God really is. And sometimes he's got to do that to bring you up another level, because if he don't do it, you will never trust him. See, some situations you go through are only because of the glory of God. I decided to speak today on the title of Power in You. But as I was sitting there, the Lord said, I'm pushing you forward. See, sometimes things happen in your life just so God can push you. Because if he didn't push you, you'd be still. You'd be standing there waiting for something to happen when God wants to do something through you. There was a scripture. Sometimes in life we have hard places and we go through various struggles, different trials, and at times we are questionable about how we are handling the situation that we deal with. We pray, we seek the face of God, and still things don't change. We cry and we yearn desperately unto the Lord, but things seem as though they are falling on deaf ears. We want to see the hand of God in our situation more than anything. With all that we know about God, we know that he hears us when we pray. We wonder why God is taking so long. What have we done? What are we allowing? And what are we not hearing? Father, today in the name of Jesus, we stand in the presence of heaven and all your witnesses. And Father, we pray today is not like any other day, but this is the day that you have made. And we make a decision that we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care what the devil has done in your life. You made it to today. That should let you know that he don't have the power to do anything to you unless God allow it. But for the glory of God, you stand here today. So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you would allow us to be proven true and to be proven faithful, that we might show the quality of God in us in the midst of our situation. So God, as we give you the glory today, we pray that your mighty hand of power, that it never leaves us, that it continues to rest on us, and that you put fire shut up in our bones. God, we thank you today for pushing us forward. That come hell or high water, it doesn't matter what the devil do, we won't be distracted. We won't turn aside. We won't turn back. And we won't let go of the vision. Because God, greater are you that are in us than the devil that are in this world. You have never forsaken us. And you will never leave us. So God, plant us firmly. Give us sure footing that we can stand in the evil day of the enemy. And that we can continue to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, it is some fire up in here today. See, something happens when you create the right environment. See, a lot of times we miss it because of the way we talk. Sometimes you can set the enemy in place by what you say. See, sometimes you shouldn't say anything. You should just start praising. I praise you forever. See, sometimes you got to have praise in the middle of it. God, I'm not sure how I'm coming out. I just know that I am. And when I come out, I'll be just like pure gold. See, sometimes God got to use that situation to get something out of you and to put something into you. Sometimes he got to burn off the dross And in order to get the real you, see, sometimes it could just be a facade. It could be different things, and you just okay with everything. But see, when something happens, and you get in the middle of a trial, and when you get in the face of God, you can't stand it. Because all that evil, all that ungodly, all that unforgiveness would burn right off of you. All you want after that is the truth. And all God would see in you is the truth. Whether you are the truth or you are walking around lying. But the trial will show it. I want to go over a scripture that's Philippians 3, 12 to 15. That's Philippians 3, 12 to 15. I want to read it quickly. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of on me. But he says here, I press on. There's a reason you got to press on. That tells me that something is going on that's pressing against you to keep you from going on. But he's telling us here, I got to press on that I may lay hold of. See, some things you ain't going to lay hold of unless you press on. See, you can give up or you can go back. But if you ever planned on laying hold on something for God, you're going to have to learn to press on. Brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things are behind. See, sometimes you got to let some stuff go. And in letting stuff go, sometimes you got to let some people go. See, I love you, but I tell you what, because you ain't going nowhere, I got to let you go. I'm looking for folks that are going someplace, someplace that they can make a deposit in you while you making a deposit in them. You got to let some people go. Because they've already decided as far as I'm going. It's costing me too much to go any further than I am right now. But when you make a decision that I'm going to lay hold, the devil just might turn it up. So laying hold is not going to be an easy thing. You got to grab hold of something by the horns. And you're going to have to learn to hold on. And I'm just not holding on because you can shake me off. I'm holding on because you can't do nothing with me. Forgetting those things which are behind. But God, I'm reaching forward to those things that which are ahead. And I press forward for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, don't forget, you are pressing towards something. There's a prize. See, sometimes the only time we press is when we can get a material thing. They say you got an award coming. You got a certificate coming. But see, you got to be able to press on when you know you're getting a crown. Something that man can't destroy. Come on now. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. I don't know why God wanted to start here. That's 2 Corinthians 4:7. And it starts reading as such. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's something inside of you that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, sometimes because of what God has put in your earthen vessel, the enemy got to come against it. See, sometimes you think you're not making it because of your mistakes. Sometimes you're not making it because the enemy has already decided if I let them go far enough and long enough, they're going to do some serious damage for the kingdom of God. So it ain't about you. It's about power that God has put in earthen vessels. See, sometimes you might have a medication that you got to take at a certain time. You got to take it every day, specific time. So now you got to pattern your whole day around that medicine. When you're supposed to be patterned about being instant and in season, always abounding in the work of the Lord, but now I got to make sure I'm here for this every day. So what I've done is I've constricted myself inside myself. But the Bible is saying that there's a treasure in you. And the devil is after that treasure. He don't care that you have it. He just want to make sure that you too messed up to use it. But it goes on to say, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. See, you're not hard pressed or crushed because of you all that. The devil is after your treasure, what God has placed in your earthen vessel. Everybody got treasure in their vessel. You got to decide how usable your treasure is going to be, whether it's going to be of gold, of silver, or of wood, or of no good. But you got to decide. But the enemy is not going to stop testing your treasure. See, sometimes the more he tests you, the more your gold turns into gold. See, sometimes the longer you in the test, the more God can transform you into who he's called you to be. See, sometimes you want to get out too soon. But you can be hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down. Anybody ever been struck down? You don't know what it is to be knocked down. But it always say, but not destroyed. The enemy can't get rid of you. As soon as that you get that into your heart, not just into your head, you've got to get it into your heart. That means come hell or high water, come this situation, that situation, you got to know devil ain't nothing that you can do with me. I'm bad to the bone. Because the treasure that God has placed in me is in this earthen vessel. All you're doing is shaking it up. And the more you shake it up, the more coming out. Come on, Holy Spirit. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ Jesus also may be manifested in your body. See, sometimes all those things working against you are only working that the life of Christ will be manifested in your body. See, sometimes you won't give up that power to save your life. But when the enemy comes, when he comes against you, it's something about God in you that causes you to stand up. And when you stand up on fire. But it would not happen unless the enemy had come against you. See, God knew the devil was coming, and he'd have told you, you'd have left a long time ago. That's why he didn't give you the plan, because he wants you to come out of who you are as the devil comes against you. And the more we come out of who we are, the more we come into who he is. Amen? For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. See, that's right there. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but let me tell you something. The words here, you're going through for Jesus' sake. All the devil trying to do is to squeeze Jesus out of you. He wants you to start looking for something else. See, you go through that situation, ladies, not all y'all, but some of y'all calling a young man, telling him, I just don't want to be by myself tonight. See, that ain't what you want to be doing. But see, sometimes the devil would try to get you into a situation where you think you're lonely, where you just need another head. Brother, you know what I'm talking about. I just don't want to be by myself tonight. So you go someplace to, you know, try to get some type of entertainment from something outside of what's inside of you. Really, God just want to get you by yourself so he can talk to you. But we got all these people that we're surrounding ourselves with, all these things. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular, because we've all made choices. And sometimes the choice have just been not to be alone. But see, what God was saying, as soon as I can get you by yourself, I can pour something in you that you would never get any other way. You've got to let the devil come at you. And you've got to be able to stand. See, all I want him to do is to tear me out of me. God, when he let the devil tear me out of me, all I got is the strength in me that's in earthen vessels. All I got is the Holy Spirit. Devil, if it takes all you got to press the Holy Spirit out of me, you can bring it. Because all I need is more of God. And sometimes you won't get them lest that situation come. That the life of Jesus Christ might be manifest in your mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Sometimes God got to kill a little bit of you to get to Christ. Sometimes he's got to knock somebody. Sometimes we got too much in us. See, sometimes he got to take some stuff away. See, sometimes we live comfortable, so comfortable that nothing can touch us. See, sometimes God got to reach in there and get you and bring you to a situation where you realize you need him more than you need that stuff. And I thank God that he trusted you enough to allow you to go through that situation. Because see, some people, the moment trouble came, they went booking. And then sometimes when the trouble came, some people bowed out. I can't show up to church. I'm going through. Lord knows I can't make Bible study. I got too much on my mind. I'm definitely not showing up for this or for that because life is happening. But don't you know God is moving while your life is happening? Sometimes life got to happen in order for you to truly know Christ. See, you got to get to a point where Christ is not just a God that your mama know. Sometimes it's got to be more than your grand. See, you got that grandmama that was praying for you. See, sometimes the only God you knew was your grandmama's God. But see, I know most people to tell you when I got into that situation, I'm not talking about that easy stuff. I'm talking about when you got in one of them hard places. And you was, oh, my God. Lord, you know my grandmama? I don't need none of that. I need the God of my grandmama. And then God said, well, I'm not the God of your grandmama. I got to be your God if you really want me. And that's when you say, Lord, I need you. I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. And you learn that it's not just the God of your grandmama. It's the God of your grandmama, but it better be your God. But in James 1 and 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, God is after making you complete, and so that you lack nothing. See, sometimes that little stuff you got, that's what your confidence is in. But sometimes God got to take you down to nothing and let you know that as long as you got God, you don't need anything else. See, some people say, I just need this. I need God, all I need is your favor. See, you need to know what it is to need something and God don't give it to you. But everywhere you go, everybody's giving you everything you need. Every door you get to is opening and everyone you shouldn't go is closing. So all you're doing is keep moving. God is using life and trials to get you where you're supposed to be. Come on, Holy Spirit. Count here may be also translated consider or evaluate. The natural human response to trials is not to rejoice. Therefore, the believer must make a conscious commitment to face them with joy. When the Bible says count them all as joy, I don't know about you, but I ain't never walked in a hard situation with joy. But I'm learning that as I press toward the mark for the prize, I'm learning to rejoice in various trials because you don't know what God is doing. The trial is there to put someone or something to the test with the purpose of discovering that person's true nature. Or the thing's quality. God brings such tests to prove, and I'm going to tell you something you don't know, and increase the strength and qualities of one's faith. See, sometimes your faith might be very little, but God brings you into a middle of a situation where you've got to believe God, where you've got to trust God. When you praying and ain't nothing happening, you seeking the Lord and ain't nothing happening, and you got to learn to, Lord, I just got to stand. And when I've done all I know to do, With all the world coming against me, I've got to still stand. You've got to be able to stand when you've done all to do. Not when it looks like it's going to work. God, I'm trusting you. When I get there, the door's going to open. It ain't got to open until I get there. I'm just going to keep moving because I'm pressing. Patience is better translated endurance or perseverance. Through a test, the Christian will learn to withstand the pressure of a trial until God removes it at a appointed time. See, there's an appointed time for you to come out of that thing. You can yell and scream and murmur and complain all you want to, but until it's God's time to bring you out, you ain't coming out. But see, he might get you in there because he's listening for a sound. He's listening to a particular sound. If all he hears is murmuring and complaining, all you got is the pity party cake. But whatever you say, God, for you I'll live. God, for you I'll die. I praise you forever. I praise you forever. That's the sound is God looking for. God looking for praise. Praise is an environment changer. See, sometimes the devil got all that work going on because you ain't got no praise going on. Your praise is just for church. You got that cute praise. You got to learn how to have that type of praise that causes your wig to spin off. You got to have your tie moving all around and your jacket all crooked. You got to get that type of praise. The kind where you cry out to God till your mascara running all over the place. And folks coming over there trying to get you, nah, get off of me. I'm getting to God. I don't need you. I need God. I need God and I need him now. Hallelujah. And if he don't come now, I'll be here till he gets here. You got to be able to stand. Because the devil is coming after earthen vessels. Because he wants what's inside of you. He's trying to shut it down. The world won't ever know unless they hear it from you. And if the devil can work on you enough to shut you up, come on somebody. Some Reverend B has gave testimony of people getting sick. And she go in there to see this person, and she lead the person to the Lord in the bed next to him. But see, the person that was sick, they didn't never want to be sick. They don't even realize Reverend B would have never came unless he was coming to see you. But the whole purpose was to get to the person in the room with you. See, sometimes God got to do something to you to get to the person next to you. The testing of your faith drives believers to deep communion and greater trust in Christ. See, sometimes you got to have stuff to help you to really trust Christ. If you're so used to every time you go to the well, it got water in it, you ain't going to know what having a need is. But if you go out there one time and you get the pumping on that thing and ain't nothing in it, you're going crazy. You'll spend the whole day beating yourself up, tying the head, trying to figure out where you get water. And here comes grandma with a glass of water. And all she do is pour it down in the thing and say, now pump it. The next thing you look, water all over the place. But see, you was giving up in the middle of the trial because of what was coming. But see, grandmama already knew what was in there. She said, all I got to do is prime the pump. See, sometimes you got to know how to prime God. You got to say, God, I love you. God, I need you. God, I trust you. God, even in the midst of trial, God, I still trust you. I still give you praise. I'm still laying at your feet. Because it's not about me. Sometimes, it's, as we read the story today, if we get to it, we'll find that it's all about the vision. Let me. I'm going to skip over something because I want us to get there today. But what we know in Ephesians 6:13, in B part, it say that having done all to stand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand. See, some people think the evil day is on that day. But the evil day is every day you wake up. Every day you wake up. You got to wake up giving God praise because you don't know what troubles is in the day. You can't even worry about tomorrow. See, you got so many people worried about tomorrow. You just barely got your feet on the floor and you worry about tomorrow. You might not make it through today. But we also know, because Scripture tells us, that there are times when we pray that the enemy fights to hold out or to hold back on the answer to prayer. The enemy's ultimate plan is to hold back, hold off, or deter the answer to the plan of God, hoping through the fiery trial wear down and break down your faith. See, that's all the devil is after, is your faith. See, sometimes all he wants to do, he figured, is to hold it for a few minutes. See, sometimes it's a few days. Sometimes it's a few weeks. Sometimes it's a few months. But what he really know, he want to know if you trust God. Because see, if you trust God, say, whenever he comes, he's going to be right on time. But until that appointed time, I'm going to be standing. Not only am I going to be standing, I'm going to be standing in place. See, some people are standing, but they're standing on the corner. They're standing in the club. They're standing in line at the liquor store. But see, somebody's got to be standing in place. I want to be where God wants me to be when it's time for me to be there. Because I don't know when he's going to need me, but if I'm not in place, I'm not going to be ready. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel 10. Read the story. Let's look at verse 1. And I'm going to read down a little bit. And we're going to talk about it. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. This message was true, but the appointed time was long. What are we saying here? He got the right message, but he had to wait. See, sometimes when we had to wait, we fall off. We go into all, we get caught up into so many other things just because we had to wait. We don't trust God enough to wait. See, God don't trust you enough to give it to you in the beginning. Because he don't know if you'll be gone when you get it. Ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you don't make him wait, if you don't make him do what he's supposed to do, he'll be gone as soon as he get it. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. But the appointed time was long, and he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no produce, no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. This brother didn't even wash his face. Till 3 whole weeks was fulfilled. You talk about being in the place of God. When you getting up every day and you praying all day, you ain't even cleaning yourself up. See, he wasn't going around people. The only thing he was concerned about was God. See, we so caught up into this and that, we got to make sure we're smelling right, our haircut just right, we done brushed the beard and the mustache, we done gone through all that. Because we trying to make sure people don't know we fasting. See, sometimes you got to shut the door. You got to say, I'm going to take a week off of work. And I'm not going nowhere, I'm not eating nothing, and I'm not doing nothing, I'm just fasting. I'm not picking up the phone. I don't want to know what you're doing. Don't tell me what you're doing. I'm not listening. All I want to know is the heart of God. See, sometimes you got to do that. See, I take a sick day sometimes. I don't call it a sick day, but it's a mental day. Where I take a day. I'm not really sick. I just need a day with God. See, sometimes you need a day when you can just stretch your heart out. Stretch your feet out on the floor and lay before. See, people don't know about that anymore. Some of y'all older people know what I'm talking about, laying prostrate before the Lord. Them young feet, they ain't messing up their shoes. They ain't getting nothing on their pants and shirts. But you got to know how to lay prostrate before the Lord. You got to be able to get down. And see, when we get prostrate, we doing it on carpet. When they got on the floor, they was on the floor. It was dust and dirt and everything. So when he said he didn't wash his face, you can imagine what he didn't want nobody to see him like that. But he was determined, I'm not going to clean up until I hear something. But it said no meat or wine came into his mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of a pez. His body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and the feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. You talking about a heavy speaker. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. See, when God is moving, some of the people in your life are going to have so much fear, they're going to be going in the other direction. Because they're not going to be able to handle it. And God know they can't handle it. Because he was there for you. But they was running. But it goes on to say that, therefore I was left alone. Sometimes God just want to get you by yourself. Therefore, I was left alone, and when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me from the vigor, was turned to frailty. And I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. While I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. What he said was, when the Spirit came up and he seen the vision, it paralyzed him. See, sometimes when God show you something that you ain't never seen before, and it's questionable, it'll cause your whole body to shut down. He said, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palm of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly believed, beloved, understood the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking his words to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand that what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days to come. When he has spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. And I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me. Not now. Nor any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let the Lord speak to you, for you have strengthened me. Hallelujah. And Daniel, in Daniel 10:2, Daniel was mourning because he wanted to understand a vision that he had seen. He had seen other visions before that. But this particular vision was a vision that would tell him that what would happen to the people in latter days. It was not the vision of the kings and the wars and the different things, but the only thing that he mourned was because he could not understand the dream that was for the people. And listen, he prayed for 21 days. And during the time he was praying, God answered his prayer the first day. But the kings of Persia came against the answer to prayer because he had the answer for God's people. See, sometimes the devil will come against you when you understand the vision. See, I don't care if you know how to do this and know how to do that. But whenever you get the big picture, when God gives you the big picture, the devil understands something. If I can kill him off, I might stop the vision. See, sometimes the only reason you have never stayed on your feet is because the devil understood what's inside of you. See, sometimes you was going to be a business owner. But the devil understood, if I can never let them get on their feet and get some sure standing in peace, the world will never see that business. And the word that God gave them for the people, for what they're going to do, if I can keep the people from getting that vision, some of y'all will get in a minute. That's why he comes so hard against the head. Just as soon as he got the vision for the people. Not about the kings, not about the land, the wars. But as soon as he understood the vision for the people. Sometimes that's why the devil is all over the leader. Because he knows he can ever get that vision in you.
The devil will never, the Bible says where one may cause 1,000 and two may cause 10,000. If he ever let the devil will ever let the visionary get the vision in you, he knows there's nothing that can stop him. The goal is to get the person with the vision. In 10:3, David was mourning wasn't because he liked most people. Daniel's mourning was a fast. It was not a pity party, not whining or complaining to friends or allowing his inner self. He was allowing his inner self to be cleansed. See, sometimes you got to let your inner self be cleansed. You've let people too much, put too much garbage in you. You ever been around people, all they do is pour ignorant, evil stuff into you? It ain't about you, but they talking about somebody else. All they doing is putting that stuff in you. Have you ever went to one of them water fountains, one of the ones, the old ones, where the water come out, and you get there, somebody done put a straw in it, it's a rock in it, they put so much dirt in it that the water can't even come out. And that's how we get sometimes. We get around people, we got the word of God inside of us, the power in earthen vessel, and all they doing is dumping garbage in you. They doing it for the glory of God. Because see, that's what they think. Because they talking about somebody, they glorifying you. They're really just glorifying themselves. But see, if you ever just start to let God cleanse you and push that stuff out and let the true rivers of the Holy Spirit to begin to flow through you. But that spirit ain't coming out while you got all that garbage in you. And he prayed to God while denying himself of the pleasant food. No meat or wine came into his mouth. He might have ate something. He wasn't eating nothing but fruits or berries. Nothing pleasant. See, we fast sometime, and in the middle of the fast, we stop and get a piece of cake. Then all of a sudden, we say, well, shoot, I done already broke the fast. Let me go ahead and get me a steak. So you figure I'll start the fast back up tomorrow. But see, no. You got to learn how to stand. You got to say, God, I'm going to deny myself because I really, really desire to hear from you. And if it hurts me, I know it's bringing me to a place where I'm ready to hear something. He didn't even wash his face for the whole 3 weeks. But if you look at 5, it says a certain man is in either appearance is the precarnate Christ or an angel. But the description here suggests that it's Christ. In verse 6, the messenger whose Daniel sees in the vision was distinct from the angel of Michael. See, they can see that Michael and that person was a different. But the person needed assistance. The description of such glory has led some to him to believe that this was Christ, as he was also described in a like manner in Revelations 1:13-17. But in that verse 17, what drew me is because it said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But when he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Can I say something, church? It is the very touch of Christ that you will never forget. But see, you got to be yearning to get that touch. God ain't giving that touch to everybody. Some people will go through a whole life and not get the touch of God. But see, you can get the touch of God every time you bow your knees, if you set the environment. See, sometimes you got to learn how to set the presence. That's how they set the praise and worship before the service, because they're trying to set the atmosphere just right. So when the pastor come up, you don't know what it's like when you're preaching easy. I'm talking about preaching easy. But when you got all these distractions and stuff going on, it's hard. But when the environment is set, when it put all the enemies on, they're gone. So there ain't nothing left but the presence of God. You're talking about smooth sailing. Come on, Holy Spirit. We going someplace. But in verse 8, it said, therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned into frailty in me. And I retain no strength. Humans are frail in the presence of God. And so often they say they realize just how unclean they are when they get in the presence of God. Even, I don't care how holy you are. When you get in the presence of God, all you're going to realize is how full of sin you are. But in verse 11, it said greatly loved. I was greatly loved. But John 3:16 tells us that God loves everyone. But we come to know that some, because of their special relationship to God, are objects to unusual divine love. Divine love. See, sometimes, even though God loves everyone, sometimes God has special people. You'll get that in a minute. But in 1 Samuel 13:14, this is how it reads. But now your kingdom shall not continue. We're in 1 Samuel 13:14. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord God commanded you. See, God was looking for that special person. Because he realized that a lot of them had not kept what the Lord God had commanded them. See, that's something how God recognizes his special people. He recognizes them through their obedience. That's a hard word right there. Because most people don't want to be obedient. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I don't care what your words say. I'm going to honor this, but I'm not going to honor that. But see, that's not how God expects us to be. If we want to get the whole blessing, we got to be the whole thing. We can't be half of it. But John 13:23 says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. That's special right there, because Jesus loved him. Everybody couldn't lay on his bosom, just like you. Everybody can't lay on you. But there are some people that can lay on you because of how you love them. Even mothers, there are special people that lay on you a special way. And then some people, the first thing you do is get back. No, I don't want you laying like that. See, the only one that you want laying like that is the one that you know obeys you. Even us as humans, we don't want people to, we don't want people, if you don't do what I say, I don't need you laying on me. But see, we get like that. So you just want, I just want comfort. No, I don't want comfort. I want somebody who listens to me. I want somebody that I can bestow the blessing upon. See, sometimes you can teach people to do things, but the person that you love the most is the person that you taught that can do it. Because, see, some people just work to be working. And some people, the whole time they're working, they're learning. And they're not learning because they're trying to be your best friend. They're learning because I actually want to know how to do this. Right, Brother TC? You got some brothers that are working with you, they just working for a check. And you got some brothers that's working and they watching. Give them a good 10 years, brother, they're going to have a sign on the side of the truck. And they can do that thing just as well as you can. Because the whole time they was working, they was watching, and they was learning. Unlike the other person, I'm just working to get a check. And that's all they wanted. But when you working for teaching, because you want an understanding. In John 14:21, it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, you got to obey his commandments to get that type of love. Not only does he love you, the Father loves you. He understands that you're a special person when you have understood and obeyed the commandments. And when you, I do this and I won't do that, you're not no special person. Even in this earthen vessel, I know if you're just going to do this and do that, I don't need you. I need somebody that's fully submitted, somebody who committed. I don't need no fly-by-night person. If I don't, I know God don't. Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. See, the person that God was describing all this time, that special beloved person, he found him. See, when you do the will of God, you ain't got to worry about man telling you he appreciates it. He ain't got to say nothing. But whenever you do what God wants you to do, and you keep being obedient, God will recognize you. Not only will he recognize you, he'll say, this is my person. A man after my own heart who will do my will. God is looking for somebody who's going to do his will. See, sometimes we'll do the will of God till something happens. And soon as something happens, you can't be found. Because the enemy squeezed what little life you had in you right out of you when he did that. In 10:12, it says, your words were heard. This was for encouragement from God, who was attentive to prayer and acted to answer it. Let's look at verse 12 right quick. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I came because of your words. Sometimes God will send somebody to you just because of your prayer. Sometimes you don't know what, you don't know who is your answer. You don't know how your answer is coming. But the mere fact that you prayed, what he was saying was God heard you the moment you opened your mouth. See, sometimes you don't know why you're still going through that thing. You think God ain't heard you. God heard you the moment you opened your mouth. You've got to know that God heard you, and the answer is coming. But in verse 13, it said this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he could not be a human, because the conflict he referred to is spiritual. It's a heavenly realm alluded to make it clear. The 3 weeks delay was due to an evil angel opposing Gabriel in heavenly warfare. Just like we approach the enemy and we approach the throne with spiritual warfare, the devil is approaching your prayer with that same type of warfare. You're wondering why sometimes you have to pray so hard and so vigorously, because the devil is praying just as hard that your prayer don't get answered. Because he know if you ever get God's understanding, you can turn this world upside down for the glory of God. See, sometimes I don't care how hard you pray, and it seems like God not answering your prayer, the devil is praying just as hard against what you're praying for, because he don't want you to know. Because if you ever figure out, that's why the pastor always talks about the big picture. Some people got the big picture. Them the people that's on fire. But the people that ain't got the big picture, I be there, I not be there, I show up, I not show up, it don't. But when you understood, it ain't even about you. That it's about the kingdom of God being demonstrated upon the earth. That's what the enemy is after. But the Apostle Paul refers to principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You can read in Ephesians 6:12 about that. But it says this man here, he was detained for 21 days. He was detained for the same number of days that Daniel prayed. So even though the moment your prayer went forward and God sent your answer, it said the same number of days that you was detained was the same number of days that you prayed. So God was, he answered your prayer. But the enemy has been keeping you for the same amount of days you've been praying for and get the answer. Because he know if he can hold up long enough, some of us, he can get us to go away. We'll give up. We won't wait on God. But if you read here, it says the prince of Persia sought to detain the man so that Daniel would be prevented from hearing God's revelations for his people. See, he done had like 3 or 4 visions already. And the devil was good with that. But what he was praying for when he was fasting is because he was mourning. Because the children of Israel had turned away from God. And they had fallen into different, all type of sin. So he was praying, asking God what could happen so that the people could be forgiven. So he went from worrying about himself to being worried about the people. That right there set the enemy on him. The moment that he forgot about himself and started worrying about somebody else, that right there set the enemy up. He knew I need to get him right now, because if he ever gets to understand it, he'll set some folks free. But in verse 18, it said Daniel is touched. And when he was touched, he strengthened. He was strengthened. But he was touched by a man who had touched him already three times. Daniel was touched, and he was strengthened three times. Now, I'm going to cover them times. The first touch enabled him to arise from the ground. That's in verse 10. It says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble at my knees and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. The first touch he got strengthened him to stand upright. See, sometimes when you're in the midst of your struggle, you're going through all you're going through, all you need is that one touch for God. But see, God ain't touch him to heal him. He just said, stand upright. Because see, sometimes when the enemy come against you, he got you walking all broken down and like you don't know you got a friend. The first thing God said was, stand upright. You got to plant your shoulders. You got to have some peace. You got to be able to stand. You got to have some sure footing in the midst of your situation. You got to know God is there with you. I don't care what's happening. I realize God is there with me. And if he's there with me, can't nothing happen unless he allowed it to happen. Even though you have been warring a battle in your life against the enemy, the scripture says here you can get up. Not only can you get up, the Bible says Daniel was told to stand upright. Meaning, I know how you've been standing, but you need to stand upright. That means you got to stand up like you purposeful about doing something. You got to be upright in your stance. You can't be hanging around everybody. You got to be standing for the Lord. He said, stand upright. But then the second touch, come on, Holy Spirit, was in verse 16. And suddenly one having the likeness of the Son of Man touched his lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke to him who stood before me. The Lord, because of my visions and sorrows, have overwhelmed me, and I retain no strength. But at this touch, he was able to open his mouth, and he spoke. See, not only did God want him to stand upright, he wanted him to be able to speak. See, the first thing the enemy do is when he knock you down, is he steal your voice. But see, God already established two things here. He said, stand upright, and he touched his lips. Then I opened my mouth. See, that's the thing about when God touched you and your testimony. Your testimony just ain't for church. It ain't just for Wednesday night. It's for the person sitting next to you on the bus. It's for the person that's sitting next to you, across from you in your office. You don't know who God's testimony is for. See, people, you know, you don't know when. You just got to be ready and you got to be willing. But see, he touched his mouth because the enemy has shut his mouth. But see, God opened his mouth. He touched his lips, then I opened my mouth and spoke. And I began to speak the word of, see, he began to speak the word of God to his problem. See, that's why the enemy wants your mouth shut, because he don't want you speaking to the enemy. He don't want you to say, devil, you a liar. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He don't want you lifting your hand. He don't want you giving him praise. He want to keep your mouth shut, because as long as he got your mouth shut, he got your environment. And as long as he got your environment, he in charge of what goes on. Death or life are in the tongue. No one be confident of what you say. You got to be speaking life over your situation. You can't be saying what the devil is doing. All he doing is tripping me up. All he doing is shutting doors. The devil is a liar. God shut that door because I wasn't supposed to go do it. You got to let the devil know it. You ain't done nothing. You ain't even got permission. If God ain't said, you can't do it. And if the truth be told, because of what God has put in earthen vessels, you ain't got no power over me. You need to start speaking to him, telling him, the devil, you are a liar. Get out of here. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I loosen life and holiness. The third touch was to carry on the conversation. Let's look at verse 18 and 19. It says, then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. See, it's something about the touch of God that gives you strength. and you don't even realize it. He gave him the strength and then told him to stand upright. And then he touched his lips. He said, I need you to say what I need you to say. Not the stuff you've been saying. I need you to change your speech. But he touched me and strengthened me. And he said, oh man, greatly beloved. See, God is, he's telling you, greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. You're greatly beloved. You got to tell the devil, I don't care what you do. I'm greatly beloved. And because I'm greatly beloved, God is for me. And because he's for me, you can't be against me. Then again, the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me and said, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. See, sometimes God need to come in your, he come in your situation. He ain't even change it. He just said, peace be to you. You looking for God to come in and stop that thing. No, no, no. He working on you. He just come in and give you strength. He give you strength to hold on. See, sometimes you ready to give up and God just come along and say, be strengthened. I need you to stand when you've done all the stand. I need you to stand when everybody else quitting. I need you to hold on when everybody else letting you go. I need you to put your hands to the plow and don't turn back. I need somebody that's willing to go with the vision. I'm trying to knock him down, but while I'm trying to knock him down, God looking for somebody else to stand up. Say, God, I'll go for you. God has given us a head. But when the enemy is attacking the head, you've got to say, God, I'll go. We're going to continue with this vision. We're going to continue to hold this community up in prayer. We're going to continue to do the word of God. The vision of God was not set for one man. It was set for the church. I'm the church. The church is not a building. This is just where we come, where we can be educated and strengthened in the word of the Lord, so that we can go and do all that God has called us to do. Devil, you are a liar. We are going to do all. The devil can't stop you. He can't stop you, 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 you. The devil can't stop you. When we are gathered together, one or two or however many get together in his name, if God is in the midst of it, that means the authority and the power of God. I'm not talking to you, devil, because of who I am. I'm talking through the authority that's just been placed in me. When the police will get out in front of your car, you stop because he has the badge. The badge is his authority, not him. It's his authority. And he don't even stop. He'll stand right in front of your car. All he worry about is that little piece of metal on his chest. That tells him you're going to stop. But see, what God put in me tells me that I can lay hands on you and cast the devil out. Yet the vision shall not die. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can lay hands on the sick and they recover. I speak to the deaf and tell them to speak and they speak. I lay my hands on your deaf ear and unblock it. That's the power that God has put in your earthen vessel. We got to tap into the power. Sometimes God got to put something against you in order to get you to tap into that power. But when you get into that power, you realize the word comes alive. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And you realize that you were supposed to be dead, but you're still here. I had 2 strokes last year. And both of them was in the 30-day period. I didn't even know it. The doctor had to tell me. I should have been dead. But see, as long as the will of God is not done in your life, ain't nothing the devil can do to take you out of here. All he can do is slow me down for a little bit. But as soon as I slow down, somebody else will run with it. That's the way we built around here. We are running toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God that is in Christ Jesus. But he said, be strong. Yes, be strong. See, God had to tell him twice. That means sometimes you don't even believe you can do what you're supposed to be able to do. God said you can do all things. All the devil want to get you second-guessing yourself. But see, you got to tell yourself, God said I could do all things. God put power in this earthen vessel. He has filled me with his Holy Spirit. He is guiding me and leading me unto all truth. God ain't giving you half of it. He's leading you to all truth. And he gives us the victory. You are loved by the Lord. You have nothing to fear. Receive the peace of God and be strong. And again, I say be strong. Hebrews 13:11, we come to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just like he told Daniel, stand upright. God is telling somebody in here today, you can stand upright. Not only can you stand upright, but I'm going to unloosen your tongue. I'm going to touch your lips today. See, you're going to have a different voice. All that stuff you've been talking ain't going to be, they ain't going to hit no more. Everything you say from now on is going to be said with power. Because God has just given you another authority. And see, in the third touch, he allowed them to be able to have a conversation. See, you ain't speaking to your stuff. You're speaking about your stuff. You ain't spoke to it. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Give me my stuff back in the name of Jesus. Debt, I cancel you right now in the name of Jesus. You got to start speaking. In verse 18 and 19, there was a conversation that was given back to him. Not only had the devil stopped his mouth up, but then there could be no conversation. See, it says, stand upright. Clean your mouth up. Take this authority. Begin to speak. God touched him three times. But Romans 2:11, it says this, for there is no partiality with God. See, what God will do for you, he'll do it for somebody else. See, that's the type of God we serve. Where it's not just about one specific person. It ain't just about you. I do it for you. I do it for you. I do it for you. See, you ain't the only millionaire sitting in here. There's a few of them. You're not the only business owner in here. There's a few of them. See, sometimes you got to get into the plan of God. You waiting on God to get in your plan. No, you need to get into the plan of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. You know what? He didn't even say what it was because it was so much. But you got to be seeking ye first. You got to be seeking God. See, for seeking God, you got to forget about yourself. See, sometimes we got too much self-interest to get into the will of God. I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't make this. I can't make that. No, God, I can do whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do. Because if I can do your will, I ain't got to worry about that. You got that covered. But if I got it covered, you ain't got to do nothing with it. See, sometimes the very stuff we worry about, we keeping it from God. We praying all we can to God about it, but we still got it. Sometimes you got to let God have it. So there was three touches that we seen. The first touch, it enabled him to get upright. See, somebody here today that's been going through a situation, God wants you to stand upright. And he's going to give you that touch to stand upright. But see, he also wants to change your speech. So he wants to touch your mouth. Then he also touched them again because he wanted to change his conversation. See, some of the conversations you've been having, they've been of God. The truth be told, you're talking to people you shouldn't be talking to. You're talking about stuff you shouldn't be talking about. And you know stuff you shouldn't even know. Some stuff should only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit and not at the water cooler. You know everything about everybody. But some things should only come by the Holy Spirit. Because, see, he's leading us to all truth. Because some of that stuff you're hearing ain't nothing but a lie. You need to hear the truth. And the Bible says not, the truth is what sets you free. Not a lie. So today I just want to ask you, is it anybody has been going through one of them situations where you need a touch? I want to touch you today. God is here, and he wants to touch you. You're in the middle of a situation, but God wants you to know that you can stand upright. Not only did he tell him to stand upright, but he didn't tell him that until after he had given him strength. See, God can give you the strength to be able to stand in the middle of that situation. See, I know you wanted to go, but see, no, God wants you to be able to stand. Because once you stood in the middle of it, then you can tell somebody else that they can make it. And they don't have to go this way or that way. They can do this and make it and still stand and still serve God and still be beloved. So I want to ask you today, is anybody in the midst of a situation you want God's touch? I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. I just want to touch you. I just want God to deal with your situation. I'm going to deal with it today. See, sometimes you want God to deal with it, but you don't give it to him. I don't want you to leave this altar thinking about it. I want you to know that God has already dealt with it. And the way he's going to deal with it is he ain't going to use nobody else. He's going to change the way you deal with it. You're looking for your answer to come from outside of you, but God has placed the answer inside of you. So I'm going to pray at the end. But what I just want to do is I'm going to touch you three times. Because I want you to stand upright. I want God to touch your lips because he needs to change your type of communication. And the third time, because I want him to change your speech of how you're speaking to your situation. Stop speaking to your situation like you're waiting on God. God has sent you for that situation. It's designed in your life just to for you because God knows you can handle it. You're looking for somebody else to do what you can do. God has put something inside of his earthen vessels. It's nothing inside of you or outside of you that can touch God's vision. You haven't fulfilled God's purpose in your life. I'm not just talking about spiritual. I'm talking about business-wise. I'm talking about economics. I'm talking about everything in your life God wants to change. But you've been waiting for something outside of you to change. You've been waiting on, I'm waiting on the right situation. This is the right situation today. And the situation God is going to put inside of you. So you need to stop how you've been dealing with it. Deal with it his way. Talk to it his way. And start moving your mountains. Move your own mountains. Speak to your own mountains. Don't nobody need to speak for you. The rocks don't need to cry out for you. You should be able to cry out for yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know you put power, and you put power inside your vessel. You've given us power to deal with every evil, every enemy, and every scheme that the enemy will come up for us. But God, you put something inside of us. God, in the name of Jesus, rustle upside of us today, God. But cause it to come out and touch my life. God, that I would never be the same. My life would never be the same. The devil would never come at me this way again. As soon as he realized the power inside my earthen vessel. So God, I'm trusting you today that you would change us for your glory.